This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 149, recorded on January 2nd, 2014. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the Average Tech Guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in very, very cold, although I know for the two guests, it's a little bit colder where they're at, but we're 2 below 0 right now, 2 below in Bellevue, Nebraska, and of course we post the show each week with world-class show notes out at the AverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show, send me an email. Just send that to Jim at TheAverageGuy.tv, or you can find me on Twitter at Jay Collison. Or you can now, it's something brand new we did for you guys. I want you to call in your questions. Yes, I said it. Call in your questions. I can't make it any easier for you guys to get stuff. Email is fine. But so if you call 402-478-8450, that's my Google Voice number. And just leave a message if you've got a question you want to call in. I won't answer that number, but you can leave a message there. We'll play your message on the show. So if you'd like to get a message into us, for the crack panel that we have here, or you just want to get me to do something. In fact, I just had one of the guys ask me if we could do a Hackintosh show, and you guys know that we don't have a lot of Hackintosh experts around, but I was talking to Tony Rayner the other day. He's a Hackintosh guy. So we're going to put together Tony and I, and we're going to try and find a couple more. We're going to do a Hackintosh. If you're listening to the show and you'd like to join us, if you know a lot about putting together a Hackintosh, we would love to talk to you. You can send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv, or leave a message, 402-478-8450, and we'll play that question. If it's appropriate, we'll play that question right on the show. I wonder with this group how many inappropriate phone calls I'm going to get with that one. So that'll be interesting. Another new thing to the show, we're now using Chatwing for our chat provider. That's just Chatwing, all one word. And you can log in with Facebook, Twitter, Google, or a Chatwing account if you want to create that one. If you don't want to log in, you can create a guest account, and you just have to, you'll have to create this, or they'll ask you to pick this weird-looking icon or avatar. But we also have a couple different options for you as well as live, and this is stuff I did. I want to thank Keith Lunsford for helping me out last night. We got on and got all these things configured. But we also have now, we have a brand new Live 2 option. So if you go out to theaverageguy.tv/live, or you can go out to theaverageguy.tv/live2, that is dynamite for watching it on a tablet device. So if you're in a portrait mode on an iPad or a Surface or a Tab, something like that, give that a try. That's just at Live 2, and that's it fits your screen a little bit better just the way it's configured. And the chat is HTML5 compliant, so it works without Flash. So if you've been frustrated in the past about trying to chat with us and you couldn't do it on your mobile device, we tested it on Android, iPhone, Windows Phone, so all those different platforms, as well as all the different browsers, Mac, PC, even a Windows XP box we ran this thing on, and chat showed up and worked well. So that should be working for you. You can even pop out chat if you want to, if you want to move that around on your screen. All kinds of improvements that went in this week. It was Christmas time at the AverageGuy.tv studios, and so lots of different options for you. Should be good on just about any device, although not all mobile devices can handle YouTube Live yet. So it gets a little more difficult if you want to watch that on your phone. Generally, you have to use the app on the phone to do that, and then the chat will go away. So what's really cool is you should have two phones, right? One that's playing the live show and one that's got the chat on it side by side. I want to see that picture. Someone will do it. So I challenge you, live show on one phone, chat on the other. That would be really cool. Have those set up sitting right next to each other, and you have a completely mobile home tech show for us. So, of course, all this navigation, if you're like, oh, Jim, I can't remember all that stuff, all the navigation is now found in the upper right-hand corner of theaverageguy.tv. Actually, it's up over that way. It's at theaverageguy.tv, upper right-hand corner, and you can get it done. All right, I appreciate that. I won't go through that every week, but we were really, really, really excited about having some new features for you. All right, a couple guys. Today we're going to talk about the Nest Protect, and a couple guys that I know have bought those. Kevin, I know, bought a bunch. We provided one through the Average Guy Tech Scholarship Fund, and by the way, thank you for purchasing your stuff through Amazon. If you go out to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon, And Keith actually told me last night, Keith Lensford said, "Hey, Jim, I'm actually getting in the habit of using that now." So, Keith, thanks. Many of you are. We actually had a record month in December. Almost $300 came in through the Average Guy Scholarship Fund. We roll those dollars right back into improvements for the show or product that we ship out. And actually, Kevin had a great idea. Well, let's welcome Kevin. Kevin, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming out.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having us on tonight. Appreciate
it. Yeah, you bet. Kevin's idea was, hey, maybe we should buy some of equipment like a Synology, so to speak, with that, and then ship that around. You know, you get to keep it for a month, and then the cost of having that is you get to ship it to the next guy, and we just rotate those things around until they break. So maybe that's a good idea. If it is, jump out on our Facebook group. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/Facebook, and that's our Facebook group. And to join that group, let us know. I'd like to know if you'd like to, if that's something you might be interested in participating in. And then someone else who got the Nest One, and both of you guys are up north of me. It's got to be cold, but Gordon Schmidt. Gordon, how are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, it's negative 12, it says right here.
Yowza. How about you, Kevin? How cold is it there?
I think it was about negative 10 when I looked at the wall weather device on my way over here.
Yeah.
Perfect snowmobiling weather.
Yes, yeah. It is.
As long as you got a heater in that snow suit, you're in good shape. We before we dig into the Nest Protect, some folks have been mentioning in chat, I have a little bit better of a picture. And yes, if you didn't join us last week, I got some new equipment for Christmas. And we want to thank Santa for sending some new equipment over. But we've got a brand new Logitech C920 that is now driving all the video. By the way, it's just awesome. I totally underestimated how good that webcam is. And they've come down in price. I was just looking for one the other day. In fact, I did a post out at theaverageguy.tv/gear. All the gear that I use, or at least most of it, is out there in some kind of review form if you want to take a look. $69 now these C920s have come down to. So not a bad deal. I also picked up, I also saw it from Cowboy Studios. I picked up some new lighting. And again, that link is out there at theaverageguy.tv/gear. Two new umbrellas sit in front of me with 245 watt, although that's not really true, but they emulate 245 watts of light coming this way. So now I'm nice and bright, and that helps out quite a bit as well. And then my wife got me some new monitor stands for Christmas. So the Average Guy Studio has got a little bit of an upgrade. So thanks, Santa, and you know who you are. And thanks everybody for... like I said, for using the Average Guy link when you buy at Amazon as well. That helps us fund some of these things that we send out here. We're going to talk about this Nest Protect. Let's dive in a little bit here. Gordon, you actually contacted me way back when Nest announced that they were going to do this Nest Protect. It's a smoke and CO2 detector, a very sophisticated one. What made you, Gordon just did a post on it, actually. It's still out at theaverageguy.tv in the top posts that's out there. Go take a peek at that. But, Gordon, what made you want to jump into this as those new fire or smoke alarms came out?
Yeah, so as a person that has the Nest thermostat, having the Nest Protect, the smoke and carbon monoxide detector, was just the next step in completing purchasing and having Nest products and the automation that gives to you inside the home. And it also, they work together, so it makes the thermostat, like the auto away feature and some of the other components of it, work that much better.
If you're really interested, Gordon does a nice job of writing this up for us. Go out to his post, and I'll put that in the show notes if you want to see, but it really just got to theaverageguy.tv, and it's just a couple posts down. There's a really nice video that they've put together that I have embedded in the Kevin's over there setting up his... I saw that picture, Kevin. Gordon does a nice job of putting the post together. There's that video that's out there that if you want to get some idea of some of the features that are available, you know, wave your hand across it to turn it off. You don't have to clear the smoke anymore. There's some networking capability abilities. We'll talk about that here in a second. Gordon, I didn't realize this, but I when I bought the thing through the scholarship fund, I just sent you the battery version of it. Mm-hmm. And you're all wired. So tell me a little bit about how you got that taken care of.
Yeah, so you purchased it through Amazon and sent it to me. There's the wired version, and then there's the battery version.
Which I could have gotten.
I
didn't ask.
Yeah, so rather than dealing with Amazon and returning it and waiting on it, I wanted to get it done and installed as soon as possible. So I decided to try my luck with one of the big blue box stores, home improvement stores in the area. And it actually took me a little over 30 minutes to get it switched out, and I had to talk to three people there before they even had a clue what it was and where it was even at in the store when I was standing across from the end cap that was on talking to them.
So it was in the store. They just
it was in the store. Yeah, they had all white versions, none of the black versions that they sell. The black version's only available on the Nest site to purchase. They had battery-only versions out there and no wired ones. I talked to a manager there, and he said, nope, Nest only sells the battery ones. And they had them. They only had four of them in the end case, and they were all locked underneath plastic boxes, clear plastic boxes. They actually held the storage back in the training room, so somebody had to walk all the way to the back and bring them up, and they only had four at a time to sell.
Yeah, so, well, at $130 a pop, there's probably good reason, right? Although that's not, I mean, they sell tools that are eight times more expensive than that. So.
Yeah, and I used to work at the Orange store back in college, and there'd be people walking out of there trying to steal huge sliding miter saws, so I don't think the Nest Protect is anything to be storing in a separate place. So.
Yeah. Well, so the good news was is they were able to swap you out, right? In the end, they were able to get you the one that you wanted.
Yep. They had no problem scanning it once they had it and doing the return and getting me the wired version so I could get it installed.
That's very cool. I was glad they could do that for you. Because it was like, oh, crap, now we got to send this back to... Now, because I was thinking, my home's not wired, and so I would just have bought the battery one. And so, Kevin, you're wired up, right? I mean, you've got all wired in yours?
No, a mixture here. Older house, I have one wired on second floor, and then the other two are batteried.
So you don't have to choose with this setup. You don't have to choose one or the other. You can have a combination of them. What's the advantage to having wired is you just don't have to replace the batteries, right? There's no networking associated.
And they're linked. If they're wired... Most of the wired systems are linked, so if one goes off, it triggers the other one, so you get a full house with alarms versus just a single room.
Now, with the battery ones, because they're connected together via Wi-Fi, will that also happen, or is it
well,
still...
Well, and I was talking about just the old systems wired. Right. So with my previous one, with the Nest Protect, they're all connected, and you tell it, when you register the device and set it up, you tell it what room you're installing it in. So it when it says there's smoke detected, it'll say in the kitchen, in the hallway, in your bedroom. So it'll just go off and tell you whatever it is that you set it up to be.
And Jim, kind of along the line of your question is, if you're building a new house today, they would all be hardwired. Most of them are networked in some fashion, but it's their own proprietary network, and I've never quite seen the granularity to the point that you get with the Nest product.
And so, whether wired or batteried, when you're setting that up, you're attaching it to the home network, so they all know, they're all aware of each other.
Yep.
At this point, right?
Yeah, and they're even talking to the Nest thermostat. Yep.
If you have devices, one, you don't have to. If you don't have one, you can still use these, right?
Right. Yep.
And so, so battery wired doesn't matter. You can still hook them together, and then. If one goes off, so if I have a detection in the bedroom and the rest of them will say, they'll all go off as well and say that the fire's in the bedroom, right? And they'll audibly announce that? Is that how it works?
So any room, so if I, like right now, the only Nest Protect I have is down in the kitchen. All the rest of them are still the old linked ones, but they're linked in with the Nest. If smoke is detected in the bedroom up here, I still get the old alarming, annoying sound. But if it's down in the kitchen where the Nest Protect is, then it says smoke has been detected in the kitchen, and then that's what they call a hush, is what Nest calls it, and then it gives you that before it does the annoying ringing noise. so that you can walk over to it and wave at it.
An early, like, hey, I'm about to go off. Do you really want this to happen?
Exactly. Where before you would have started buzzing right away, and then you're over there doing all kinds of stuff to get it short of knocking it off the ceiling.
I think that's been the worst part of smoke detectors, is that you can't ever get those things to shut up.
Yeah.
And then you end up pulling it off the ceiling, and you pull the battery out, and then you set it on the top of the fridge. Right, and then it sits there, and you don't have anything working. Kevin, what? Let me finish yours. Your install. So you've got some screenshots of what's in the box and what that thing's looked like. Talk me a little bit through your install. What did you have to do to get that installed in your current system?
Yeah. So the only downside to the install, before I walk through it, is the Nest thermostat included a little Nest screwdriver, so I literally had everything I needed to switch it out. Where the Nest Protect, they talk about the screwdriver in their own videos, but they don't actually have it in the box. So I don't know if they missed something there, and they'll add that in the future. But yeah.
And I don't mean to be a jerk, but for $100 and some they can throw in the screwdriver.
That's right. It's really nice. I still have the one from the thermostat.
Was it the same screwdriver? So you, or is it, did you need a different one?
It's just a standard number 2 Phillips that's needed.
So Lopt is asking, does the wired one have a battery at all? What happens if the...
Yeah, it still has a battery backup in it. Yep.
And it's not PoE. We're not talking about networking cable that's powering this.
No.
This is standard wiring.
Yeah, so the install process is me going up and doing the quarter turn to take the old one down. But before I'm even doing that, I'm shutting the power off. And that actually took me longer to figure out which breaker in the garage powered the smoke detectors so that I wasn't having live power while I was disconnecting the wire nuts and putting the new adapter on. So that actually took me longer than it did to actually install the Nest Protect. But once I figured out which breaker it was that was controlling those, I simply took the old smoke detector off, disconnected the wire nuts that held on the black, red, and yellow wires, and hooked up the new 120-volt adapter for the Nest Protect, and it actually doesn't use the red wire, so you just put a wire nut on the end of that to cap it off, connect the black to black, white to white, and then remove the old mounting plate into the wall box, and install the new one with the screws that they provide, and plug in the Nest Protect, mount it up on the ceiling. And then to activate the setup process, there's a little blue tab on the outside of the Nest that just makes it so the internal batteries can make the connection. So you can get it set up, you pull that out, and then it starts talking to you right away to get set up.
And does it just, it kind of walks you through the setup itself? Tell me this, tell me that. Tell me, how's that work?
Yeah, so one of the things I thought was very interesting is right now, you almost don't need a desktop computer in your home, or you almost don't need a laptop or something that can plug into a network or into your router directly or a modem directly. But I think Nest has done a really good job. They use your mobile device, so any iOS or Android device, tablet or phone, you can use to set up the Nest and connect it to your Wi-Fi network. It bridges through your phone and the application to connect to your internal Wi-Fi network.
So just an app? Is it just an app that's in the App Store on either side that you download and then you make that connection? Then is it just go through like a discovery mode?
So you're connecting you go into your Nest mobile application on your device, and then you go to add a device and you say you have a Nest Protect. It asks you to connect to your network. It shows and it goes and finds the Nest Protect that you have. It says that it finds it. You go and name it and then add it, tell it which room it's in. It runs through a self-test to make sure everything's good before it goes in.
Pretty drop-dead simple as far as the network setup.
Yeah, less than 5 minutes to activate it, get it set up, and you're up and running.
Hey, Gordon, did you use the QR code scanner on the back, or did you just punch in the model or the ID number?
Yeah, so originally I put it up there before I pulled the blue tab.
Ah, okay.
So I didn't get to that point. I actually had to go grab my chair again, take it off the ceiling, and then I scanned the QR code on the back.
But that expedites the because it's got all the unique information for that unit, right, when you scan the QR code.
Yeah, so when you're in the Nest application, you're adding the Nest Protect to your suite of Nest products within the application. That just links it directly to it versus you typing in the ID.
Yeah, makes things a little simpler.
Yeah.
Kevin, in your setup, I assume very similar to what Gordon's talking about. Anything different? That one of the things that was mentioned in chat, they'd asked what kind of power, and it's just straight AC power, right? 120.
Yep, regular 120.
Yeah.
So my initial launch here was with three devices. I have a two-story house with a basement, and we'd talked a bit about kind of the odd thing about smoke detectors is they tell you when there's smoke in the room you're in, and I've always thought this networked idea of detectors would be a neat idea, so this is my first step. So I have a battery one in the basement, a battery one in the first floor right by the kitchen, and then the wired one is on the top floor of the house just outside of our bedrooms. And the logic is buy yourself a little more time from a smoke detector. If you don't hear the smoke detector going off down in the basement, chances are good that you might actually hear the one nearby you saying, hey, there's smoke in the basement.
Yeah. No, that is nice. That's more like a commercial setup, right?
Yeah.
Where it doesn't just, it's not a localized alarm, but it goes off, and then the advantages of them knowing the location they're in is that they can say, hey, you've got a fire in the kitchen, or what have you.
Smoke or fire.
Yeah, right. Does it, now, we haven't talked about this yet. It's also got some CO2 capabilities built into it, right? So if you're getting a overabundance of that odorless, invisible gas, the CO2, you can just go to sleep and never wake up from.
got to correct you, Jim. It's CO.
Oh, they're right. You're right. All right, CO. Yeah. Carbon dioxide, right?
Carbon monoxide, right.
CO2 is carbon dioxide. You can. that's okay.
That's the bubbles in your beer.
Yeah, that's okay. So
you might still want to run away from it, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
In high quantities.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we, and I'm sure it's true in other parts of the country. We seem to have more than our fair share in the Northland here of carbon monoxide deaths. A lot of people end up thinking they have flu-like symptoms, don't get out of the house, don't realize what it is. So that's aside from the smoke detection function, the CO detection I think is a huge deal as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it tells you, so some people don't necessarily know what to do when a CO is detected. Your other alarm just goes off. It makes a different beeping noise than the fire alarm, but you're not really sure what to do. Where the Nest Protect actually tells you what to do. It says, leave your home and get fresh air. So step outside.
Oh, nice.
Get fresh air. Yeah.
It also, as Gordon mentioned earlier, with the tie, if you do have a Nest thermostat, if the CO sensor goes off, it'll turn your furnace off as well. So it'll stop fueling the income of or intake of if the CO, generally that's where it's coming from, is an issue with your furnace.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, right? I mean, probably in most cases, and it's good. It can just shut that down. I mean, won't that be nice to have a water heater, if you have a gas-fired water heater that's hooked into that? I mean, really, any of your, you could have that attached to your gas range, and if one of these units detects that, it automatically shuts off the gas to the house,
mm-hmm.
right? And just kind of shuts that. I guess, really, you would just need that main shutoff on the gas, on the gas line that's waiting for some kind of some CO detection, and it shuts that stuff down.
Right.
Yeah, so Jim, for both fire and for both fire, right, and for CO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You should head over to the Nest website. They're always looking for new product ideas, so you should pop that one up there.
Yeah. Hey, something I can put on my gas meter. The gas companies would really appreciate that, wouldn't they?
Shut it down when I leave.
They'll get over it.
Hey, they have no problem coming if you don't pay the bill. They have no problem in coming and shutting that off for you. But not an auto shutoff. Not a bad way to kind of stop fueling the fire, so to speak. That might stop some serious explosions here in the future. So
could very well. You know, and I don't want to belabor the point, but you know, there are, and we can talk about some of the other alternative systems out there. And I've looked at a few of them, the Nest is probably the most expensive one out there. But one of the things I noticed as I was looking at some of these other products, I'm sure they're very good detectors, but you can tell that they're kind of designed that a contractor would be putting them in when they were putting the house together or remodeling or whatever. The Nest is this technology for the masses. It is drop-dead simple. It's actually one of those things that's probably so simple it might actually annoy a technical guy who, you know, is not used to following the instructions. And if you just read through quickly what it asks you to do and follow those steps, it's done. And as Gordon said, how the device goes out and finds the Nest product, I happened to be doing it with one of my new Android tablets, and I could watch basically the app would disconnect the tablet from my network. It would connect directly to the Nest Protect,
yep,
program it, send its information over, and then disconnect and reconnect to the network, and then the Nest would show up on the network. So they've just done an amazing job of making this thing drop-dead easy.
That's good. I mean, that's a good thing for a safety device that that you can get, you know, you can make it that easy. Gordon, you mentioned there's a light ring on the front of this, and the lights mean different things.
Yeah, so one of the things that is nice is every time you shut down the lights in the room, so say it's late in the evening, you're getting ready to go to bed, you shut out the lights off, your Nest Protect actually will show a nice green light. And that's just letting you know that everything's okay. There's no detections or anything. Nest Protect is working for you, and kind of like a last-minute check to make sure the front door is locked, a last-minute check to make sure that if there's any smoke or any CO detected, you'll be known about it.
Hey, so I just had this thought, Gordon, and back just away, so sorry to derail us for a second, but we talked about shutting off the gas. You know, when you said safety, that was interesting. I mean, imagine a day when, so you're shutting off the lights, and it's connected to the doorknob, I mean, connected to the locks, right? Yep. And it senses, oh, hey, he's shutting down. Let me check the doors, one, to make sure they're locked,
yeah,
right? And it automatically locks them if they're not. And then, two, during a fire, what's the first thing it does? Unlocks those things and maybe even opens the doors. Now,
you know, it breaks your windows for you.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, I mean, think about that. A device that would, or it would lead you, right? It might talk to you. It might lead you to the best path.
Yeah. Yeah, and it could be using, I mean, taking it a little further, it could be using the Nest Protects that you have in the house to take temperature readings and tell you where to go to avoid the fire if it's in a bedroom, so obviously don't go out that window, go out over here.
Yeah.
Something like that. But I'm sure I'm not the only one after the Nest thermostat came out where I was, you know, creating a short little list or, you know, took 10, 15 minutes to think about what is Nest going to go after next, because this obviously isn't the last product that they're going to create. What's the next thing? And I did not have smoke alarm or smoke detector on my list. I know that for sure. So, and in the videos I've watched from Nest and Tony Fidel, the co-founder, and Matt, the other founder, they talk about, they don't say what they're going to do next, but they definitely say that there's more coming to it, more to be within the Nest family of products.
Yeah, that's pretty cool with the thermostat and now this. They've got some. And then I think Drashna, let's see, let me go back here. John Stutzman says, what are the chances of a false negatives? I wouldn't want my gas shut off when it's negative 11 outside, right? Maybe by mistake. And there's some safeguards built in from false positives, right? Right now, you talked about the hush feature, right? It gives you a little warning.
Yep.
Right, and so before it would do any action, you get a chance to, I would think, you get a chance to say, nope, that's not really the case, things aren't really on fire here, whatever. But I would also think, if I was away from home, and even if it was a false positive, although, you know, in these colder environments, you have to worry about pipes freezing, but I would want that thing to at least alert me and say, hey, you had a detection. Well, first of all, will it do that from my phone? So,
yeah.
Okay, talk a little bit about that. What's the app?
Yeah, so when I'm looking at the application, I've got my thermostat and my Nest Protect. I click on one or the other. I click on my Nest Protect. It shows me a green light for my smoke alarm and a green light for my carbon monoxide. It tells me the thermostat or the smoke detector I'm looking at. So I'm looking at the kitchen one. It says it has a reading of okay. It has a last update time, so that it was updated 7 minutes ago, a last manual test, which was 6 days ago, and then the battery backup, whether or not it's okay or not, and that's okay. So it would tell me what it's currently doing on, as long as the fire didn't start at the router and take down my internet connection. It would tell me where it's at and what it's detected.
That'd be a concern, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Is that a point of failure?
I would think so, yeah. If it's not connected to the internet...
Right.
You'd be down. Same thing with the thermostat, though. If my internet goes down for whatever reason in the area, my thermostat, I'm not able to. So say I set the auto away on it. I'm driving home. It's an hour drive. I know it takes about 30 minutes to get it back up from 55 degrees that it might be at since it's in the winter. And I hop into it and I don't have a data connection or my Wi-Fi is down in my house. I can't change it or set it to auto away before I get home.
Kevin, is that a reason to have some redundancy if all these devices of ours are going to start relying on an internet connection, do we need to have some kind of redundancy set up so that the main router goes down, something can back it up?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question, and I think that's going to depend on how important the connectivity is. So, you know, there's two ways of thinking about it. The Nest itself is protecting you while you're in your home, and I look at the remote access features as being a nice way to check, a nice way to warn. The thermostat actually, you know, sends data back and forth, talking about your energy usage. You get a nice report from Nest about your total energy usage. But, you know, it's one of these where I think it's a great question because I think the more we look at the reliance or the types of things we expect these devices to do, then it gets back to that, you know, I hate to draw the analogy, but, do you still have a wired phone in your house or do you, you know, truly rely on voice over IP or do you truly rely on mobile phones? And, you know, it's a question each of us will have to answer, but I think it'll come back to how much the... technology relies on that connectivity, if it's a nice to have or if it's a requirement. In the case of like a security system where maybe you have a company that monitors that security system for you, they do recommend, you know, either the phone line and internet, or I was just looking at some systems from Honeywell that have a failover in internet connectivity, so you have two different connections from your building. But then, of course, you're looking at two different plans for internet access as well.
Yeah.
Gordon, any thoughts on redundancy there from you?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the only thing I'd like the Protect to do in the case of it can't connect to it and let me know that something's going on is just go ahead and call that emergency contact, the appropriate emergency contact on my behalf. If it's detecting something.
Now, it doesn't make any... It's not a security system today, right?
Those
alarms go off, it's not contacting anybody.
Right. Okay. What it is doing within the app mobile application, so any devices you have the Nest mobile application on, if it senses something, it'll give you... it says, in case of emergency, the Nest app gives you quick access to call this number, and then you can enter in your emergency contact number into there. So if something comes up, it gives you the number that you need to call right on your device, so you
click
on it and make a call.
So some simplicity, because you don't want to be looking up 911, although it's not always 911, right?
Yeah, that was my initial thought, but yeah. And I'm not sure, I haven't tested it yet to see if in the fact that it detects smoke and nobody hushes it and the alarm goes on, does it say out the number that you're supposed to call? So maybe you have somebody, a 10-year-old or something like that in your house and you're not home. Does it tell them the number to call, or what does it do after it's been going on for a while?
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody brought up an interesting point in chat. and maybe they didn't intend this to be, but it made me think, how interesting would it be to have a small cam built into this device as well, that when it goes off, it starts sending pictures to you of what's going on, right, until mm-hmm. it melts. But yep. You know, I mean, how helpful would that be?
Yeah, and how many times are fires, not necessarily in homes, but businesses that might have it in there, and things, maybe the fire started by somebody else that rather than natural causes, and if you don't have a security setup, maybe having a camera in the Nest Protect would, two birds with one stone there, being able to capture some security images along with detecting it.
Kevin, is that too creepy to have pictures like that, and, you know, have that capability in our home where, you know, we often do outside surveillance, but if those cameras were in there, would you think they'd be a little too creepy for most people?
You know, I think it depends on your case. I've not played much with the security aspect of it. PC Doc over on the BYOB has done a lot around IP cameras, and anybody who's been very frustrated with IP cameras, go read some of his last posts. He finally found a software package that that works extremely well. I've considered many times putting IP cameras outdoors, you know, back door, side door, front door of the house, but I think there are some things that either from a security point of view or just from your own monitoring point of view, this new software that PC Doc found looks pretty good, and I think that's a route to do that. I think it does. You know, to me, in my own world, if I was going to put something like that in, we'd have to have kind of buy-in from the whole family that this there was a good reason to do it, because it does have those creepy connotations. Yeah. Of
you want everybody to have a little privacy waiver to sign off on?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's inside, it's in rooms, you know, in a lot of cases, depending on your building code.
Yeah. Well, and the thermostat does kind of creepy stuff. I mean, the Nest Protect does a decent amount, but not nearly as much as the thermostat does. The thermostat knows when you're away from your home. It knows the conditions that you normally have in your home. It knows when somebody's walking past it. It's listening for sounds. I mean, it has a lot more sensors in it than the Protect does, and it's tracking a lot of that stuff, and the fact that it sends you a monthly report is nice, but at the same time, that's a lot of interesting information about your home and your habits that are getting sent out.
Yeah,
actually that one came up in a chat thing over at Nest was data protection. So, you know, if your Nest knows you're away and you're a bad guy, wouldn't it be a neat idea to hack Nest and find all the thermostats in one city that were on auto away for more than two days? You know, it could be like a blueprint of going and finding everybody who's not home. So, you know, data is important, and data security is very, very important.
Yeah.
Well, all that from just the green light.
That's right. Now on to the white light.
Yeah, let's talk about the white one.
See where that takes us.
Do not walk into the white light.
Oh, Gordon, what's the white light do?
So one of the other lights that the Nest Protect gives you is a nice white ring, and that comes on when all the lights are off, and you walk within a proximity sensor. Our motion detection of the Nest Protector kind of gives you light to your path. So it's just enough light to see where objects are so you're not hitting them and things, and gives you enough light so you don't have to turn on a big light and maybe wake somebody up in the home, or just have another light on just to have a light on if you just need to go to the bathroom or something else or check on something.
That's kind of nice. Yeah. So kind of a smart nightlight for you.
Yep, and it's the same thing with the thermostat. When you walk past it, it has a sensor in it that notices movement and detection, and then turns on so you can see what it is and gives you some light. So,
yeah,
that's nice.
Very cool. Okay, and then of course, if we're in an emergency, what kind of lights do we have for that?
Yeah, so then you're gonna get a red light, and it's gonna have the light kind of goes in a circle motion on it, and that's if smoke is detected or carbon monoxide is detected. And then at the same time, it's giving you the red light. It's also telling you if it's carbon monoxide, it tells you to step outside. If it's fire, it tells you smoke has been detected. And then it tells you the room based off the room that you told the Nest Protect that it was in, so fire in, and then it says the kitchen, the hallway, the bedroom, wherever that Nest Protect is that detected it.
Okay.
And then the other thing, the other thing Nest has done is in the Protect, they're using some ultra-low processors. There's actually two processors in it, a less powerful one and a more powerful one. The less powerful is actually running their custom smoke chamber sensor and their carbon monoxide sensor. The more powerful processor is running all the Wi-Fi connection, all the smarts, all the sensors for motion and sound and connecting in with the Nest thermostat. But those using those low power sensors that are those low power processors allows them to run on a couple of AAA batteries for multiple years. So rather than having a 9-volt in your system and having to replace it every year or every year and a half or two, it gives you a yellow light ahead of time letting you know that the battery is getting low or the sensors are about to expire in the device. You need to change out and get another Nest Protect. Or you just need to change out the batteries rather than your old alarm just starts beeping. It could be middle of the night. It could be when you're gone for a week and it's sitting there beeping the whole week and your neighbors are hearing it if you live in an area where you're sharing a wall or it's just annoying in general. This at least tells you ahead of time. And it does the same thing on the mobile application. There's messages and you'll get a message from the Nest Protect saying that the battery is getting low. You need to change it.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. So kind of keeps you up to date. The idea of maybe testing that thing. Aren't there twice a year when we go forward and fall when we go back?
Yeah, National Days. We're supposed to
check those alarms. Yeah. In this case.
Do you do it, Jim?
I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
No. I don't. In fact, this whole thing's
doesn't look like Kevin does either.
I've done that. Those bad things where I've removed those smoke detectors. I've just taken them down at times. We've never got them put back up. I mean, I've got a couple that are still down. That it's like, I really need to get those things back up on the, back up.
Yeah,
working. This might be one of those things that gets it done. There was some Kevin, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say I've always been good about replacing the batteries, so I always feel like they're powered up and ready to go, but yeah, I think that was one of the concerns some of the guys were having about the cost of these devices at $130 a pop, and they're only good for 7 years. Well, I got to realizing even the cheapies that I have in I meet code, I have smoke detectors everywhere I have them, I come to realize that some of these, it was, we put those in when we remodeled, and that was 13 years ago. So the idea of having something automated, they're a lot more expensive than a regular one, but they tell you they're working, they tell you the battery is good, and they will tell you when they're old and they should be replaced. And it's really about, the protection factor with me, and just trying to, tie up some loose ends on that type of technology.
And I've had multiple times with three young kids in the house in the past couple of years where the smoke detector in one room or another will just start beeping in the middle of the night. It wakes me up in a panic. It wakes the kids up in a panic, and it takes hours to get them to calm down and everything's okay and go back to sleep. And I end up taking it off the wall or taking multiple off the wall until I can figure out which one's actually making it, because they're all linked so you can't tell. Mm-hmm. And that alone is enough to pay a little bit extra for 7 years or however long to have that not happen.
Yeah, and a typical smoke detector, at least here in the United States, what are those? What do you think? I haven't bought one in so long. What, $25, $30, $40 maybe?
Yeah, I think they're even cheaper than that.
Yeah. Okay. You can buy a smoke. You can buy a plain old smoke detector from Kidde or First Alert for under $10, and a smoke detector with CO is probably more in the $15, $20. Getting up into the 30s, the one voice stuff where they can actually do a little linkage, those are First Alerts are like 35, and then if you add smoke and CO with them, there you're pumping up into the $60 kind of range on those. So they're probably, if you just did a raw comparison, the closest would be the First Alert, and it's probably half the price of the of the Nest, but you have no external applications. You have very limited some of the connectivity functions. They don't really have a system. Paul Barron has a great article over on his site about what he did to link the first alert system with an Insteon system and the different pieces to do that. And it's interesting because he basically took a home automation system and added the smoke and CO detection onto that system. And I think that's kind of neat. It's a modular kind of idea. But when I look at it, that'd be fine for, as I'm looking at the chat room, and I know a lot of the guys out there, you know, for the average tech guy, that would be an easy solution to do. For the average guy, it's probably not something you're going to jump off into, where the Nest is something you can, you know, anybody could do this. If you can run a tablet, you can set the Nest up.
Yep. And the thing that's most valuable to me about the Nest products and the Protect is the fact that it links in with my mobile device, so I can be, you know, on a trip someplace, I can check in at home, I can see, you know, it's middle of the winter, negative 25 degrees outside, my pipes aren't freezing, and I'm not going to come home to a wreck, my place is not fire, and no CO is leaked, and other things like that are just nice to, just a comfort level in being able to check that quick.
Yeah, you know, we did a whole show when the Nest thermostats came out. Mike Howard has two of them in his house. Gordon, you've got one. Kevin, you have one, right?
Yep.
And we've done shows on them in the past. Nest should, like, pay me. I'm just saying Nest. Or at least maybe ship me one. Anyways, don't do that. I don't like free stuff. I'll buy it. But the so we've had that. We've talked about the Nest thermostats for a long time. Interesting, you know, now we're making this jump to this, and like Gordon, like you said, they may have some future products here coming out. They did have a lawsuit problem with Honeywell for the thermostats back in 2011, I want to say 2012, and then recently, as of November 22nd, Honeywell also filed a lawsuit against them for the smoke detectors that are out as well, and so there's some big battles going on. You know, it must be pretty interesting to have a big company like Honeywell go after a small company like Nest.
Major disruption.
Yeah, yeah. If they weren't worried about it, they probably wouldn't have spent the money.
Yeah, and I have a friend that's a sales engineer for Honeywell, and I was talking to him about Honeywell's product, their high-end programmable product on the thermostat side, and the Nest, and was showing him features on my app, and he didn't really... He was talking about it and showing me stuff, but he had to walk over to the thermostat to show me. I was showing him on my phone from his house, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Howard was always, when he first had those two installed, and he was always like, he's like, I can't stop looking at the stats. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
One of those things, he was like, yeah, check it from work. And I'm like, look, he'd call his wife. And he's like, look, I can turn down the thermostat right from here. You know? So I would think one of those kinds of crazy things, too, with these, right? You could say, oh, you know, middle of the afternoon, is everything going okay in my house? I mean, if you're one of those kinds of guys, that's one of those things that you might like from that. Mm-hmm. Kevin, do you like all that, the connectivity with those? Do you find yourself checking it, or are you just waiting for something to show up on your phone?
No, you know, probably the biggest place that we see it is when it comes to vacations, we take... a couple of weeks during the summer, and inevitably I would always, we'd get to the cabin or get to where we're going, I'd look at my wife, she'd look at me, and we'd instantly go, did you turn the thermostat down?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I will dare say that in the couple years I've had this, the auto away function has probably saved me the price of the thermostat itself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're back home for Christmas. I set my bottom number at like 60 degrees, so the house is running at about 60 degrees. We leave our family, you know, back in western Wisconsin. My wife pops up her phone, goes into the Nest app, turns auto away off. The house starts heating back up to 68, 69 degrees, whatever we had it set for. By the time we get here and walk in the front door, it's warm and ready to go. And Gordon made a great point earlier with the, so three-story house, my thermostat is on the first floor. There would be times when I'd work from home and I wouldn't leave the office upstairs for several hours, and if I'm up there, the dogs are up there, and I'd come down, and it would be, you know, a little hot in the summer, a little cool in the winter, because the Nest had thought I was away. Since I put in the Protex, doesn't happen anymore. So,
really? So yeah. It's connected in that way that the thermostat is also using those motion sensors?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, they're chatting back and forth the whole time over the network.
Yep.
Checking in with each other.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah.
It extends that functionality of the thermostat then.
Correct.
Beyond shutting off the thermos. I mean the thermos. The shutting. Yeah, that's because it keeps my coffee cold. Beyond
that's version 2.0.
cutting me off of coffee. Besides that. Besides it shutting off the thermostat, you guys are saying that it extends the sensoring capabilities of the thermostat.
Yep. Correct.
Yeah, cool.
So the other thing, Kevin, that I'm waiting for them to do, and I know other companies do it with their applications, like Twitter does location-based services using the location APIs in your phone. If I'm on a trip and the thermostat knows that it takes 30 minutes to go from 68 degrees to 70 degrees. When I get within, based off traffic and everything else, when I get within 30 minutes of my home or 45 minutes of my home, automatically turn it on because I'm going to be arriving if it looks like I'm on my way home, right? So
unless you're running some errands, like that,
because there's been times where it drops down to 55 degrees, and then I get home and I'm like, oh, I forgot to turn the app on before we got here and stuff. Now I need to do it when I get home, and then everybody's cold.
Yep, no, that's a great idea. Phenomenal idea.
But you know, so you're driving home, and then it's thinking, okay, you're gonna get home. And then you pull over to get. Oh, it's like, oh, okay, I can. You know,
never mind.
You can still go in there and just shut it down. And
when
just,
you get home, it's pissed not. At you. It's so mad at you for
talking back to you.
Yeah, it's just it's angry and it's like freezing cold because it's just mad at you. That's
where have you been, funny. Gordon? Why did you not come home sooner, Gordon?
Now we're getting into stuff like the movie Eagle Eye, where the big mothership is paying attention, a little too close attention to
it. I know. Well, it's like Hal, right? When Hal's like, Dave, I don't think you should do that, Dave. Dave, what are you doing? Why are you going out there? Yeah, there's a little bit of that. I mean, there is a little bit about in this, right? I mean, now you have a lot of sensors around your house that are kind of detecting. And it's horribly convenient, right? You're trading privacy for convenience at that point. And man, it's fascinating. I it's one of those kinds of things. It's like, now there's an expense associated with this, right? The Nest thermostat, the version 2 is still $249, right? $249, I think, is what MSRP.
Yeah, $249. Yeah.
Retailers, and they don't run many deals on these things, so you're not going to find them, you know, 20 or 30% off in most cases.
And if they do, Kevin, I believe will find it for us, right, Kevin?
I will certainly try.
Okay.
That's true. That's very true. Thermostats run, or the smoke detectors run 130. You know, I would think, though, this is a situation you could install the thermostat and then the next year install wait a couple months and get one and smoke detector and then start placing those around your house. Because you can do them one at a time, right? You don't have to do all in one shot. I think one of the biggest complaints that when we first started talking about this is like, do you realize how much it would cost me to outfit my whole house with this? Well, you don't have to do that, right? You can do them one at a time.
Yep. So Nest actually was, I think it was New Year's Eve, they were doing a sequence of tweets about Nest Protect myths, and one of the myths was that you have to do all of your smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors at once, that you can't have one with an existing wired system, and that isn't the case. You can do like I did, where they're all networked using your regular power system, 120 volt. You can add a Nest to it, a Nest Protect to it, and the system still functions as normal. You're just not getting the Nest Protect features in all those other rooms.
Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah, I think that's interesting. You can do it little bits and pieces. Kevin, you'd had some notes. I want to allude to these. Well, one, they've been talking about, does this have Windows Phone support? They've been talking about this in chat. Do you guys, either one of you know, official?
It does not.
Yeah, there's no Nest. There's no Nest mobile application for Windows yet.
Okay.
But okay, it does work okay with the browser on the phone. So you know, you're not going to get prompted on the phone. But if I wanted to check stuff, I can go in through the browser on my Windows phone and go straight to Nest and log in that way as well.
Okay.
And I do have to say, as a lot of companies that are creating mobile applications are figuring out, and the ones that win awards are the ones that have a consistent UI across all the platforms. They rewrote their Android and their iOS application as well as their web application, and it's a consistent user experience across all of them. It doesn't matter what you're using, the web, an iOS device, a tablet, an Android device, it's all the same. So it's not the jarring experience or, oh, I'm looking at the web, it's completely different. How do I do the same thing I'm doing on my mobile device? It's the exact same, which is nice, and I think that's the way it should be.
Very cool. Well said, I think. Let's, as we kind of come in from a, Gordon, let me ask you, or Kevin and Gordon both, any more tech things? I want to go into a little bit of basics of fire safety just a little bit, because Kevin's got some great notes here. But anything else, Gordon, Kevin, that I didn't cover from a tech side of one of these things? You know, Lofta's kind of out there while you're thinking of that. Lofta's out there like, hey, I don't need Wi-Fi on my thermostat, or on my, you know, my thermostat. You know, I don't need. Yeah, you know what? It's not for everybody. Right.
You don't have to connect it to your Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Well, it becomes a pretty expensive thermostat. If you're not taking it.
Yes, it does.
Those features, right? I mean, you can certainly get cheaper thermostats. It's not for everybody. It's kind of for that geek who really, really, really wants to take advantage of some of those capabilities. So, you know, it's the step up. I mean, it's kind of the Cadillac, so to speak, of thermostats and smoke detectors. And but it's got me intrigued.
They're always interesting topics of discussion when other people are coming over and are entertaining, and things they'll ask, hey, what's this on the wall, or that lit up, and then ask me about it, and we end up getting a discussion about it, or the Nest Protect, and what that does. So,
yeah, I think it's kind of the beginning. You know, Microsoft has always had this the home of the future model that they tout, and it's never right, but I think this is really one of those, when we talk about wired devices, never thought it'd be a thermostat and a smoke detector that really are the first ones to infiltrate the house in that kind of way. I mean, the PCs have done it, and we've tried to get video cameras to do it. Those, like Kevin said earlier, by the way, those, Kevin, you mentioned PC Doc. Of course, that's Mike Fauché. You can, if you're new to the show, you can find all his stuff at, I think it's Doc's World. Or the easiest way to find him is over at homeservershow.com, all those things. I think it's docsworld.com as well that gets you there. I'll include those in the show notes as well if you want to see his things. But I think it's funny that maybe the home automation will infiltrate with these kinds of devices when maybe we always thought. Because while lighting is somewhat automated and it's had the biggest ramp up, it still sucks. It's not very good, right? The lighting stuff that we have is just not great, and you have these big clunky control. You know what? A home music in audio, same way, right? All that automation stuff, and it's clunky and not very effective. I know it's getting better, but we've got a ways to go with that. Any other tech stuff, guys, before we dig into just a few minutes of fire safety? Okay, don't go away at this point. Don't think Jim's going to preach to you about fire safety. But, Kevin, a few notes that you put in here, I'm going to just walk through this real quick. I think this is important in the discussion because, you know, I know I don't have some of these things. But Kevin, you'd ask the question, do you have a family fire escape plan, right? Whether you have smoke, whether they have super smart smoke detectors, or you've got just ones that go off. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that, Kevin. When you put that there, what'd you mean?
Well, you know, I guess as we've looked at this, and I have an 8-year-old daughter, you know, do you really have a plan? And in the show notes, FEMA actually has a good document. It's just a good standard planning document of do you and do your children know what to do if the smoke detector goes off? Gordon had some great points earlier about the Nest talks to you, whereas, and for little kids, you know, that's a lot easier than having an alarm go off screaming in your ear trying to figure out what it's talking about. The other thing about the fire safety plan thing is it was one of the daddy-daughter classes that my daughter and I went to, they showed a video on fire safety. And every local TV station has done one of these stories. But if you sleep with your bedroom door closed, you probably gain yourself an extra 5 or 6 minutes of not being overcome by smoke or other issues. So let's say you don't have smoke detectors in the house, you get 5 or 6 extra minutes. If you do have six, and it's this whole thing, but if I have my door closed, will I hear the alarm go off if it's down in the basement? And then the other question is, what tends to happen is if you have your door closed, people just, when they hear the alarm, then they run for the door, they open the door, and they get overcome as well. So part of that planning function is teaching your family, you and your children, if the fire alarm goes off. So you need a good, and that's why I'm really excited about these networked smoke detector kind of systems like the Nest, because let's say it goes off upstairs and it says there's smoke in the basement. That tells me that, I've got time to check on my daughter and to get us out of the house, probably. If it says, hey, get out of the house now, floor is on fire, I can feel the door and know whether the door is hot or the knob's hot. And it kind of replants that idea of when the fire alarm goes off, do you run out your bedroom door or do you jump out your bedroom window? Mm-hmm. And I live in a two-story house, and I've been here for over 20 years, and I finally bought one of those stupid rope ladders because I'm realizing I'm not going to survive a two-story fall out the window of my house.
Yeah, so a man leaps to his death while getting out of a small kitchen fire.
Yeah, and my daughter's bedroom is on the front of the house, and we just went through the steps with her of making sure she could unlatch the window, crank the window open, get the screen out, and then have that plan of meeting at the tree in the front yard. And you have to tell kids, don't come back in the house. You know, it's a tough discussion of having, Yes, leave mom and dad for dead.
Yeah, in this case, think of yourself, but in every other case, stop thinking about just yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that's a lot of what was driving me, Jim. I just started to see this cohesion of if I had this great network that gave me better warning of where smoke or where the problem was in the house, and then the door closed on the bedroom buys you some more time, and having the ability to escape through the bedroom window as opposed to coming back through the door, it just all adds up to, survival having the technology help you survive a fire.
Right. Yeah, I didn't want to get into a lengthy discussion about that, but I think just as, if I look at the demographics of who listens to the show, and so first of all, I want to say thanks for listening to the show, those who do. We get some thousand each week to come out and listen to Home Tech. But if you fit the demographic like I think you do, like most of the hosts here, we all have families, varying ages of the kids, and there are some smart things to do. Just the technology alone won't bail you out. There are some smart things to do as far as practicing those fire drills, or at least having that discussion to say, are you reading the chat? to have that, I love the chat room, to have that discussion with them that says, do you go out your window? And one, can you go out your window? Do you have a ladder if you need to? You have a safety ladder available for them to be able to get out that? Because I've got a couple windows too. Most in our house here, most of our exits are fairly easy to get out of. And so depending on where you're in the house, there's just a couple rooms, and there's one in particular that's a little bit high. So we're okay here. But you really need to think through that. What happens if I'm in this room and I can't get out that door? You have to have that question. You have to answer that question. And so Kevin gave us some links to this FEMA fire safety that I'll include in the show notes. There are different smoke alarm codes by state that you might want to be aware of. What are you supposed to, anytime any work gets done, you buy or sell your house, you've got to be up to code on some of those things, so you might want to check them out. I know Nebraska is not very strict, but I know some other states are, so you might want to check that out. Like you mentioned, closing bedroom doors can save lives, and in a fire, in a business, when there's a fire, all the doors automatically shut, right? At Gallup, if we had a fire, in fact, I was in the building one weekend when the fire alarm went off, and man, those doors just start swinging shut, and that's good. That shuts things down. We actually have big rolling metal fire doors that come down between the buildings to kind of close off the buildings because You want to starve that fire of oxygen. And then, Kevin, you said you love the Nest Protect, but there's some other choices as well. We talked a little bit about Honeywell. What else have you seen out there that you like?
The first alerts that that Paul had worked on, I think that's probably the lead competitor out there of a product that is a they connect, they talk to each other. So the $60 CO2 smoke detector from, I think it's their One Call product. They talk to each other. You can program them, kind of rudimentary programming of what room they're in. And so they have some basic functionality of then telling, you know, if it goes off, it'll say, you know, smoke in the basement or smoke in the kitchen or smoke in whatever room. So I think that holds some merit. Paul's website shows a great, you know, technology of other pieces he put together to add on the ability for that system to talk to his home automation system, which then ties into mobile apps for him. So that looked kind of promising. And we've talked about it in the broadcast already, that there's some uniqueness about that idea of having a centralized automation system and different technologies tie back into that. We talked about Honeywell a little bit. You know, they approach it the same way. They have thermostats. They have smoke detectors. They have home security systems. They're trying to bring it all together from that point of view. Kidda is just some real basic units that talk to each other. They don't use voice so much like a standard system. They're just going to blare at you and go off depending on where they are. And then I think I threw a link in for the Simply Safe, which is a real low-cost home security, home automation guy. That it just looks interesting the way they manage their systems. And I haven't had a whole lot of time to look into it, but for a few $100, you can start a base system with those guys and kind of build off it. So kind of disappointed I'm not heading to CES this year, because that was some of the stuff I wanted to look at, was some of the home automation functions where they were going to be driving more security and safety aspects.
Yeah, so we'll include all those links out there as well. Kevin did some nice job of getting those links. Kevin, you mentioned CES. I will mention, you know, in years past, you've been there. I've done coverage from both there and here. And this year, just too much stuff going on, but Dave McCabe is going to be on the ground at CES, and so if you're interested in following that, head out to the Home Server Show, homeservershow.com, and I think most of the coverage is going to be on that site this time. He had been wavering back and forth between surfacegeeks.net and homeservershow.com, and I think we landed on homeservershow.com, so there'll be some... I'll miss CES, although I get a super busy week here. We may do some evening live stuff, so watch the Twitter account as well. We may try to jump in on the evening and catch up to Dave as he's up there and just do some impromptu hangouts. Guys, anything else on this as I kind of bring this in for a landing? Gordon, anything?
No, I just want to say thanks, Jim, and the Tech Scholarship, the guys that go to use Jim's Amazon affiliate link. And it was nice to get the Nest Protect and get it installed and write the review and be on the podcast again, Jim. Thanks.
You bet. And again, that link will be out in the show notes if you want to see it. If you just actually head over to theaverageguy.tv in the search, type Nest, N-E-S-T, you'll see all the articles. Gordon's done a bunch for us around Nest, and we've talked about it quite a few times. We've done a few shows. Just type N-E-S-T up in search, and all the shows that have that will show up. And there's some... Gordon, thank you for doing the review on that. And that's just an example of what we do at the Tech Scholarship Fund. If you go to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon, and when you buy through there, we've had a couple record months, so we'll have some cash available. If you can't afford to buy the equipment and you'd like a little lift on that, we'll buy that for you. Send it out to you. You do a little write-up on it, come on the show and talk about it, and that's kind of the way it works. And Kevin, you'd mentioned this. If you don't necessarily need to take advantage of the Tech Scholarship Fund and you still want to write about products that you buy yourself, Kevin's done that before as well. You are more than welcome to... contact me, and we'd love to have you right over at theaverageguy.tv, and you can just post that stuff out. That's the reason I came up with this platform, and I do all this work. And so, Kevin, anything else from your side?
Only one tangent thought, because Christian's not here, I have to take us down a couple of tangents. we spoke about fire safety. We just had a little discussion about this over on one of the other websites. Disk drives cannot handle temperatures above 150 to 180 degrees. So a lot of guys will back up their data to a USB drive and then put it in a fire safe. Fire safes are designed to keep paper from burning 451 degrees. So if part of your backup strategy is USB hard drives and you're putting them in a fire safe, you need to find a data grade fire safe or a data grade box to put inside of a fire safe. And I have a lot of friends who hunt, and you know, they have really nice gun saves, and we'll find them one of these smaller data size boxes, put the drives in there, put that box in the fire safe, and I'm pretty confident of that. You know, the fire safe, the gun safe will keep the temp down probably under 400 to 500 degrees, and the that internal box will keep you down under 100 degrees. So just another thing to think about with protection.
And you get two forms of protection. You got the guns in case it's not smoke, and then you got the safe in case it is fire.
And the Gordon, I really like your outlook on life.
I'm all for it, Kevin. I'll implement that strategy right away.
It's another option of the Nest Protect. When it sees a stranger come in, it loads your gun for you.
It's a turret.
Like the old, I'm sure there's a video game with that on there too. Good point. An Iowa safe. Actually, it's sitting right behind me, right there. That IOSafe is also rated to keep your data safe in a fire. That actually's got some ceramic built around it, and it closes off the vents when it detects heat and protects that drive. We've burned those drives before over at homesurfershow.com. Dave has actually burned those. I've seen those burned by them. They burnt several of those when we were at CES a couple years back. That's 4 years ago now. But that's another good way when we talk about fire protection. If you want all my data, I've got, that's a 1 terabyte drive, and I only have 300 megs of data in the house that I try to back up. So when that's growing all the time, but still, I have a 1 terabyte. I think right now they cost about twice what a normal hard drive would. But if there's a fire, that can withstand about 1,500 degrees for about an hour, which, if your house is going to burn down, it's not going to last that long. It'll burn down a lot faster, so you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And then if you have it in the basement like I have it here, and the fire department come and does a great job of pouring water on your house, right, which is going to happen. Things fall on it, and it's submerged in that water in my basement. It can withstand that for up to, I think, 10 days or something like that.
Yep.
Being submerged underwater, you pull it out, pull your drive out, your data, there's your data. Now, I also move everything to the cloud, so it's just a precaution to have and one of the things that we do. But from a fire safety standpoint, all good thoughts on that as well. So, guys, thank you for taking a few minutes. We did this, if you're listening to the recorded version of this, you don't really know because it's time shifted, but these guys delayed the live show by 2 hours tonight for me. I had a little party to do. And, guys, I appreciate you doing this late, 10 p.m. Central, 11 Eastern, although we're all in the Central time zone, right? Is that?
Yep.
Aren't we? Okay. Yep. So, but still, I appreciate you guys doing this late. Let me hang around for a few minutes. I got just a few announcements that I need to make to get to the end of the show. I did see Christian. We mentioned Christian. I didn't mention him at the front of the show. He's out there in chat. He just pinged me on Skype a few minutes ago. Big, gigantic thanks to Christian. If you follow the AverageGuy.tv site at all, you know that we've had some problems over the weekend with it going down. I've been pretty vocal about that on Twitter at times. Christian has always been good to work with me to get that back up, but we just had all kinds of problems. And when Christian came back from school this last time, he just said, "Fooey, I'm going to take control of the host provider, and I'm just going to make my own." And Christian made his own. He did his own, and it's
take
actually,
control of the internet.
He did. He owns the internet now. But no, he's got some screaming servers going on out of a home base there where he's at. And if you haven't been out to theaverageguy.tv in a while, you ought to head out and check it out. It is lightning fast now. And one of the interesting things that I was not a big believer in having your host provider. I wasn't a believer that speed made all that much of a difference when it came to your host provider. Like, okay, so it takes 3 seconds to load, or 4 seconds or 5 seconds to load my page instead of just a second. I wasn't a big believer in that. Like, that made that much of a difference. And Christian has always pushed hard to get us faster and faster and faster from response time. So this week, or last week when we went live on the new site, it became very evident just how important speed is. So if you have your own hosting, you do your own website, you're worried about hits and bounce rates, right? That bounce rate is the number of viewers who come in and then leave within, I think it's like 5 seconds, something like that, is on a bounce rate. And so we had been hovering around a 62, 63, 64% bounce rate, which means I'm losing 60% of the people who come to the site are gone before they even see it, for the most part, right? They just bounce right off the site and never come back. New servers, hard to believe, we're less than 10% bounce rate right now. I've never seen bounce rates this low in anything I've ever done anywhere. And even today I went and checked the Gallup websites, and we're not we're not that good when it comes to the bounce rate. So we're literally, it's one, there was a day it was 1%, and you just don't see that very often. So while size doesn't matter, speed does. And so it's if you're in that business or you're doing it, I could not believe just how good it was. So huge thanks to Christian. We're now hosted. He's now hosting us single-handedly, literally, over there, and has done some amazing work on getting this all done. So Christian, great job on getting that done. We'll, I'm sure we're actually going to break out. The reason he's not here tonight is we're gonna see him less on Home Tech, but he's going to get his own podcast. So Christian's Corner, which has always been a feature here on the average, or on Home Tech, and Kevin, you alluded it to a few minutes ago. Christian will go on these 30-minute tangents. They're not really tangents; they're all planned. They're in the show notes.
He's just got stream of thought.
Yeah. A 30-minute stream of thought. That's brilliant in a lot of cases. Just some amazing things that Christian can say. We're going to break him out into his own separate podcast and call it Christian's Corner. So we've always called that with Inside the Show, but it made some sense now to just give him his own gig. And so you'll see once or twice a month, you'll see a brand new Christian's Corner coming out from the AverageGuy.tv studios, and it'll just be Christian and I. We're going to do some chatting. We may bring some interviewees in, but... And then Home Tech will turn into Home Gadget Geeks, and that will be happening here in the next quarter or so. We'll be making that changeover. The good news is I don't think you're going to have to do anything to your feed, and Christian, I know you're listening, and I had you set up a brand new site for it, but I'm changing my mind on some things, so I have to call you a little bit later. We'll have to talk about those, but I'm not thinking you're going to need to change anything. I think Home Tech will just turn into Home Gadget Geeks, and we'll actually join Dave McCabe over at the Geeks Network. Everything will stay right at theaverageguy.tv, so you don't need to go anywhere, but... we'll join that affiliated network with Dave and do some marketing stuff together. That will kind of help the show. So all those things are coming up. Yeah, Gord?
Jim, I'm a little concerned with this added podcast, and maybe there's one or two more to come or something like that, and these new lights you have are going to really, you know, you're going to take it in, and it'll be like you're sitting on the beach all summer.
Yeah, it might. I might actually get a tan. I need one. Look at this. It's pale Midwestern guy is what this is. But... yeah, so that's all coming up. So hang tight. Go give us a look out at theaverageguy.tv. If you haven't been out there in a while, you might want to take a peek and see the improved speed. It's just, and there's a bunch of you out there right now. So thanks for going out there to do that. It's always good to watch it. Thanks again. Huge thanks to Christian. Every time I think I pushed him to the brink, he comes through in amazing ways. I mean, it has just been, you know, it has just been amazing to watch him kind of learn and grow in this. And guys, he's doing more than most of us will do in a lifetime. So it's just an amazing thing. He's a very valuable resource to us. So Christian, I know you're listening, and thanks for doing all those upgrades as well. I mentioned CES earlier, Dave McCabe, homeservershow.com. If you want to follow that, watch my Twitter account at Jay Collison. If you think you might be around, we might do some impromptu evening sessions just to kind of see what's going on at CES. You've probably noticed if you're in the live show, we have a new chat service called Chatwing, and we're giving that a try. It's available with multiple logins, and although somebody did mention, I think it was Tim Black, if you try to log in with Facebook, they want access to absolutely everything when you log in through that app. So
imagine that.
I can't control any of that. I don't think they're going to do anything with it. But there are Google+, and actually Twitter has very little things it asks for to be authorized by. So look at those. Go with your comfort level. If none of those are good, you can create a Chatwing account and upload your own avatar if you want. Or you can just log in as a guest. So if you log in as a guest, you get a crazy guest ID. That's like guest 678. And you get a really crazy looking avatar. But I'm trying this out. The beauty of it is it works on mobile devices, which the old live stream chat was flash based and it didn't. And so we seem to have good luck. Somebody had said before that that they were watching it on their Nexus 7 tonight, live, watching the live stream on YouTube on their Nexus 7. So very cool. We like that kind of stuff, and I'm going to be testing it here and then be taking it to the Gallup podcast, and where we get 400 or 500 live on the shows. So it'll be fun to give that a try. We've added some new pages as well. We now have a live and a live 2 and a chat. So if you go to theaverageguy.tv/live or slash live 2 or slash chat, those are all different views. So if you want to watch it on your iPad or on your Surface and you want to watch that in portrait mode, live 2 is the right place to go. That'll get you there. If you just want the chat, you can do that, and you can actually pop out the chat now if you're on a PC. Or actually, you can pop out the chat on your phone. I tried that the other day. That works just great. Pops it out, puts it in a new browser window for you. The one drawback is it keeps timing out every 15 minutes. Dave Cozy, thanks for coming out. He's my IBM guy. But it keeps timing out every 15 minutes. I'm going to fix that here at the end of the show tonight. If you're around Saturday mornings, although not this Saturday morning, but most Saturday mornings at 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central, I get together with Dave Jackson and we talk about podcasting. So if you're thinking about starting your own podcast or you have your own podcast, we have a call-in show. You can come in and ask us questions about podcasting. So we have that. That's over at schoolofpodcasting.com/live. Imagine that. And you can catch us on Saturday mornings. It's kind of fun. Follow my Twitter. I tweet right before we go live. Or you can follow Dave on Spreaker or Mixler to get that done as well. And then last but not least, thank you. Thank you, one, for listening. We do really appreciate it. It really does mean a lot to me that you guys listen. I appreciate that when you're out there. I appreciate you, the listener, who takes an hour or an hour and 20 minutes out of your day to listen to us. But I also appreciate you guys buying through the Amazon link. Again, it allows me to turn those funds around. We actually have, besides you, Gordon, I got one more item out. It's kind of a multi-purpose hard drive, card reader, SSD. It's like this one and all-in-one combo that's like $45. And so one of the guys is testing that out right now. Just arrived to him, and he'll get a chance to test it out. And then I have a Fitbit Force coming that I'm going to be reviewing. I'm buying that with my own money at this point. I got some work where I work at Gallup. They give us some benefits for stuff like that, and I'm going to turn it into the Force. I like that. I'm going to turn it into the Force. And we'll be reviewing one of those as well. And so if you have something cool that you want to share with us, certainly let me know, Jim, at theaverageguy.tv. It doesn't take much. We look for 200, 300, 400 words on a post. Both of you guys have posted before. It's not like pulling teeth, right? Fairly easy?
No. Nice and easy.
And we'd love to have you out there to do that again. Again, we're around most Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv live. I appreciate you guys coming out that are watching live. And for those that are watching the time-shifted recorded version, again, thanks for doing that. Gordon and Kevin, thank you for coming out tonight. That'll be a wrap on the show. Stay around for the post-show a little bit. You never get the post-show unless you come out to the live show, so a good reason to come out. But we'll see you back here. I'm back up next Thursday night. We got a bunch of good guests coming up, so you're going to really want to stay in tune with what's going on, plus all the changes here at the Average Guy Network. So good night, everybody. Thanks for coming out.